do that. Okay. Yeah.
Oh man, I had something and lost it. I had a good.
This is what happens when you force cold opens.
I had something, but it was something to do with Cloverfield. Remember Cloverfield?
Yeah. Yeah, I was a big
That's
fan.
That's a lot. There's just a lot of things that all the pictures of the fog and everything. And I'm sure if you don't live in the tri-state area, you're very sick of it. And I'm sure if you live in, I think it's Portland, you're like, this like happens. In like Northern California and Oregon, people have been like tweeting that like this is a thing. Like,
yeah.
People are like, oh, first time? So I didn't really know that it was a thing like that. But I still have some opinions, and I think we're running back the first ever episode, right? With this?
However you want to do it.
So it just reminds me a little bit of the first episode, and it reminded me of War of the Worlds, because my thing is, I guess we'll just get right into it.
We don't have to run it back. We can just tell people go to listen to it, and it'll serve the same purpose.
Okay, that's fine too then.
All right.
So I got a text from my friend, a business associate of mine, his wife. We're all very tight-knit fam. She's a Chris 3 listener. And she said, who is this man? His voice with like a, her husband was on the text, by the way, with nice. Like a starry-eyed emoji. And said that you have an amazing voice.
Well, so, hello there, business associate.
I don't know business associate. The wife of business. Oh, wait, you remember guy? Remember the guy in the back of all the Dear Albie episodes?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
His wife.
Oh, nice. I think I met her. I think I met her at the Halloween.
Yeah, yeah, that would make sense. Yeah,
I met their kid and him.
Maybe.
All right.
At the Meadowlands.
Yeah.
Yeah, 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 he brought his kids there. I don't think she was there that day, though. I remember the day you're talking about. But, yeah, that was... I don't remember if she was there now that I think about it. But I don't want to say... I'm not saying names because I just don't know if that's their thing or not.
Sure.
But it's not like a secret. But, yeah, I just wanted to know that you got a compliment.
Well, thank you. That means a lot.
But I've been... So we have two topics, and I think we're going to stick with the other one. And we can maybe tease the other before the end of the episode so we force ourselves to do it next week. Because all week, Nando and I have been discussing a very specific topic. I called him this weekend, right? Like, really early. And I was like, here's what I want to talk about.
You were excited. I was like, all right, this is the Sherlock Holmes episode. Let's go.
Still am. And we're not doing it now. Because the sky. And it reminded me of the War of the Worlds episode. And I was like, you know what? I want to have a different conversation about it. Because it's supposed to be worse today. And... it got me thinking, like, it reminded me of a lot of things, you know, like Cloverfield was one of them. Remember Cloverfield, the first one?
Yeah.
What's the movie with Harrison Ford and then they read Blade Runner?
Indiana Jones?
Yeah, that's the one. No, yeah. Blade Runner. Is that Harrison Ford?
No, Blade Runner is Arnold Schwarzenegger, isn't it?
No.
No, what am I thinking of? Yeah, I think Blade Runner is Harrison Ford. Do you want me to look? But this show should be sponsored by IMDb.
So, and it really should be a movie show. So, yeah, it's Harrison Ford. But that's the feeling I get from it when I look outside. And I guess people are kind of used to it. And then you and I just started going back and forth. And I was like, I want to go into the idea that I have like a 3% conspiracy theory on it, if you want to hear it. It's not really fully baked. I just, it's something that I've been thinking because right before all this... smoke, and it just smells like Austin, Texas here too. Like, I don't know if you've ever been to Austin, but it like smells like that. Like, it's very smokehousey, like wood on fire, much like forest fires should smell like.
Yeah,
but a little too much, you know, a little too on brand, a little too scented candle for me. And I think so. Right before all this went down, I was looking at the news, and like every single news outlet, and they don't agree on anything, was talking about UFOs and aliens and how the CIA is like acknowledging them, and they were going to make some kind of announcement about whether or not they've ever had actual communication and not just spotted them with cameras and such. So hear me out. And again, like, this is
someone
a little
set
bit of,
200 forest fires in Quebec.
Well, kind of.
Okay.
So now, it's like, it's a joke, but it's kind of like, if it happens, I want it on record. So if this ever happens, I want it to be like, I called it, because sometimes I feel like I should be more of a, like, like kind of more of a Paul Revere for the people. Like, I feel like when I have a gut check feeling, they're right a lot of the time. And I should really, I think I have good, like a handle on the pulse of the nation. I think they should listen to me when I have my theories.
If this is going to be a conspiracy show, would you call it Chrispiracy?
Maybe.
All right.
But now you got me thinking about that. We're gonna think about that because Chris. But I love a good conspiracy. My problem, I wanted to do a conspiracy show, but I just didn't think I really could have done it because I'm not really that into them. You know, like not enough that I. You have to believe it. A lot of them. You know, and I just have fun with them more than anything else. But there's a lot of UFO talk. And they were saying how the CIA has been like, they're going to make some kind of announcement. There's just been a lot of talking, or the Pentagon or whatever. And then all of a sudden, it starts to smell like smoke. And the last time this happened, we did the War of the Worlds episode because it was the Chinese spy balloon.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
The last time they talked about aliens publicly, the spy balloon happened. So then, and then there was something else, right? And now this. And I'm wondering, what if the government and the aliens, and there is a history tie into this. Should we have led with that?
No, this is good. Just go. This is Christery.
What if the government and the aliens have like a, so in Harry Potter, like the highest form of parliament knows the wizards exist and they have like a relationship and they're like, all right, like, yeah, we know that there's wizards and we know that, you know, we have to get the good ones to keep it like copacetic. So what if the aliens were like, listen, we have to be in New York, New Jersey-ish area for like most of next week.
Get some meetings.
We can't get out of it.
we're going to see Aunt Juliet.
We're just going to... I heard Funny Girl is great. So what we were going to do,
want to get
just
in there before the Tonys.
So yeah, it was unavoidable. They had to be in New York. And they were like, well, what are we going to, you know, people are going to freak out. You know, it's going to be like the Watchmen. And they were like, no. We have an idea. We just need to hover and then we'll drop some people in or, you know, whatever they have in. All you need to do is make it so we could hover in peace. And they were like, huh. And then this is for the audience and you to decide whether the government started the fires. Like, use their people in the wind patterns to be like, all right, we know how to get this done to block the sky. Or they just have, like, a sky-blocking mechanism for days like this.
Oh.
This isn't fire. Because it just, the smell is too strong. The smell is too strong. If you go to the bathroom in Canada and leave the door open, I don't think it's going to waft all the way down to New Jersey. And I think, I don't know. It's a little bit too scented. It's a little bit too branded for me.
But it's a massive amount of forest. You know, I knew a guy. I worked with a guy at one of my old jobs who was a Canadian.
Have you seen pictures of the forest?
No, have you?
No.
No, that's interesting.
Nothing from Canada, nothing from the forest. Sorry,
I haven't
go ahead.
Looked. He was a Canadian forest firefighter before he got into television production. And he told me some cool stories. Uh-huh. He would, like, you know, they would sit back to back. And that's how they would sleep, like they do in the movies. Like,
really?
You can see the northern lights up there because, you know, that's that far up north. Like, so you just kind of doze off with this fire blazing, you know, miles away, back to back with the northern lights up above you.
I got invited to a wedding at the Northern Lights.
That sounds pretty awesome.
Do you want to sleep back to back in the woods sometime?
Yeah, would you like to do? Would you do that? We'll bring the microphone out there and talk until he dozes off.
Do you put anything into my theory? Like, anything at all?
No.
Oh.
I'm sorry. What if the forest fires were a red herring for something else?
Well, that, go ahead.
I don't know.
Like an announcement that's like an Epstein list type of thing?
Or maybe like the aliens were meant to cover up the forest fires and the winds blew the wrong way.
I don't think they make mistakes, the aliens. I think they've been around too long. I think they've been studying us too long. But I guess that's kind of my point, is I thought you would say no right away. Obviously, I'm joking, but I want it out there in case it's real, because I have like a 1-2% chance of believing what I'm saying right now.
Well, here's the interesting thing: like, that report was on News Nation, right? Like the guy did the interview with News Nation, and you know, like something like that, you go 60 Minutes, you go Fox, you go whatever. News Nation is like a serious journalistic outfit. Like, a lot of people don't know what it is. It's like Dan Abrams has a show on there. Ashley Banfield, who is like the greatest journalist in the world, in my opinion. You know, like Fair. You don't know which way she leans. Like, she's with News Nation. She was one of the first people on News Nation. So I think, like, for them to do, like, they're not attention-seeking, you know, we need to pull a stunt to get people to know what News Nation is. I mean, they have big enough names, and they're, you know, they're doing what I think what Chris Schlecht was trying to do with CNN.
But I don't think it's a publicity stunt. I think
that's what I'm saying. It's not. This is like a legitimate news organization that's carrying the guy who's the whistleblower for the alien stuff.
Right. And well, that stuff. Well, that's kind of my point. Is when you have something like that with legitimate news organizations, the whistleblower thing, all that, and then again, no one denying it in the highest forms of government, and then you have this really weird thing to happen, right? And I'm not I really don't believe that they're tied in, but I'm just saying, if it were to ever happen, it would look like this, and it would sound like this. It might even smell like this. What would it take for someone to believe that that shit is happening? You know what I mean? Like, what would it take outside of actually seeing a craft land? What would it take for you to believe it? Because I think in history, if this were the time that we had our Independence Day moment and it started this way, I think people in the classrooms would be like, what took everyone so long to realize it?
This guy was out here saying it on News Nation.
And on Christory.
And on Christory.
No, but they, right? Like, you have respected journalists, you have whistleblowers saying that these things happen. And then as the news kind of comes out, again, the last time this happened was the balloon. And that's the only reason I'm like, damn, this is really similar to the balloon. And it's similar to other things that have happened, which I guess we're going to talk about today. But I just find it weird that like we're in this kind of, it always happens. Like whenever the alien conversation comes up, some crazy, unprecedented thing happens. And it's like, just again, I don't think that's what it is, but what would it take for me? I don't know what it would take for me. And I'm trying to explore that with you now. But like, what would it take for me to say, okay, this is some otherworldly shit is happening on Earth. Like my Wi-Fi is acting funny. Everything smells. My dog's been weird. That's always a sign in the show. My mom wasn't feeling well. Oh, I won't get into that, actually. That's almost way too personal.
It's a strange place to go, man.
No, I'm not going to do it right now. But it's all's well that ends well, put it that way. Yeah, just like weird stuff happening. And I'm like, well, and I was just thinking to myself, like, what would it take for us to really, what's the thing that would get Nando to say, all right, let me like pack the kids up and go to, I feel like they always go to moms in these movies. You know, pack the kids up and go upstate.
Yeah.
But what would be the thing that you're like, okay, I've seen enough to be like, oh, this is weird. I got to go. Because this is pretty fucking weird. All this combined is pretty strange.
I don't, like, so this, to me, this is normal. Like the wind's blowing down and hitting us. I don't know. I'm just like, okay, yeah. I don't think this is a cover for anything. I don't know what I'd have to see. I guess some like some real footage on all the networks. But even then, there's like 15% of me that's like, it could be faked.
But with everything you've seen in the world, like the networks now is what you need. I don't really need like Anderson Cooper to tell me to believe it because I don't know if I believe everything that they say.
You know what? So on Instagram, right? I got a burner, not really even a burner because my only, like I just never use it. But I follow things. Like I follow Dear Albie, I follow you, you know, whatever. This I got fed this feed of this guy who makes AI videos of old statues of gods and goddesses, Roman gods and goddesses dancing. You know, he merges like someone's TikTok dance video with like Aphrodite. And it's starting to look real. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't, I mean, obviously it doesn't look real, but it does kind of look like a very, very, very good animation of a statue dancing. You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. Even if I see a video, I'm like, ah, man, you know, like this dude on Instagram is doing this. Imagine if he had the full might of someone who wants to fake something for some kind of gain.
Well, that's what I tell people all the time. Like whenever they say, oh, I saw it on TV. I'm like, okay, I saw someone ride a dragon on TV. So like, I don't know why you think because you saw it on TV, it's real. You know, like at this point, I think we could all agree that news, especially as it exists on television, is entertainment. And it's really what you want to be told. It's spoon feeding. Right? Like, I'm not trying to be one of those people, but I don't think the news, when I, you know, I watch the news, I keep all on the background, whatever, you know, because I want to hear what people are saying.
You
but
need
I
topics
do. I'm a big
too. You need topics.
I do need topics. Well, because for Christy, I try to think of current day topics and I back into history, you know, because there's too much history. It's like it's like a menu. Like now, when you look at current events, I look at it like a menu. Like, oh, cool, I could take the sky and bring that into the 1966 smog in New York, which I feel like we're not going to talk about. But
go ahead.
I feel like we should just. No, that's it. It was just
this
a smog.
Is your show,
this happened.
It?
Yeah, but it's not interesting. I keep trying to find a way to make it interesting and wiggle it in, and I can't. It's just this happened before, but not through Canada. In 1966, November 23rd, for 3 days, there was a smog from just warm air and pollutants. This is like the New York, like 1966 New York is like kind of. That's like Mary Tyler Moore's New York, right? Like when like even when they were doing like a video to start a show, there was like smokestacks and things. like they were trying to make it look like she finally made it to the big city and it still looked gross. But yeah, it was it wasn't, you know, there's a lot of like sulfur dioxide and that's what I mean. It's not interesting. I have to read all shit like that. But there's a lot of respiratory issues, people got hurt, and it was just a dark, dark smog over the city. And it actually started the implementation of the Environmental Protection Agency, the EPA, in New York. And that's how it started, by having something pretty similar to what we're dealing with now. Here's another thing. This is a distinctly New Jersey privilege. New York getting all the credit for shit we're dealing with, too.
Okay. I got
you know
that. Yeah,
like if Godzilla came, like New Jersey's also affected. Okay, I don't think people understand how close they are to each other. I don't think people get it that anything that happens to New York happens to New Jersey, and we don't get the credit. We don't. So like the blackout, that affected New Jersey.
I don't think it did.
Yeah, I know.
That's a bad one to lead with.
That was the word. That was the first thing that came to my mind, and it just wasn't good. But we're very much in it, like, and it was always things like this. Everyone's like, "Oh, New York, New York." I'm like, guys, you know, we're hurting over here too. So I don't. So there's things that happen in New York that I'm trying to think of now, but like,
well, you know, people in New Jersey don't make it about themselves as much as people in New York.
I think it stems from
the snowball fights. Every time it snows, like we got to go on like our phones and talk about the snowball fight. You know what I mean? Like in Times Square, we're having a snowball fight. Like that stuff is dumb to me.
And like, how many people have the empty picture of Times Square? You know what I mean by that? Like when it was COVID and then it was like, you know, there was like the blackout and there's like Sandy and there, and everyone takes a picture of like an empty Times Square and like, when do you ever see Times Square like this? And it's like, listen, first of all, every night between like 2 and 5 a.m., you could catch it that way. First of all, it's always like that. You can't even drive in Times Square anymore. Second, I think it all stems from the sports teams not loving us. Like the sports teams being from New Jersey but identifying as New York, I think, has left New Jersey with this inferiority complex of like you just said, we don't feel the need to be seen and heard, because we, you know, the people that we give our tax dollars to and spend, you know, get bumper stickers for, they don't love us back. You know, they don't even shout out New Jersey. Like when you're at MetLife, they're not like, all right, New Jersey. Nope. They say New York. And I'm like, what the hell happened here? You know? So I think that's where it comes from. But yeah, I keep seeing everything on like Instagram or Twitter, like TikTok, everything's New York. And I'm like, you know what? Not for nothing, but I'm here in New Jersey and it smells like fucking wood back here. It smells like burning wood. And I would like a little bit of a hey, keep your head up, Jersey.
You know, this also happened in 1953 and it killed 170 people.
No. What this exact thing? Fire?
Yeah. Yeah. The smog.
In New York?
Yeah. Because I'm reading the story of 1966 on newspapers. Shout out to newspapers.com.
That's really who we should be sponsoring this show.
And they reference the 1953 smog in New York.
So is that where the reputation comes from?
Let me set the date parameters real quick.
Because like that dirty reputation, you know what I'm talking about?
That we're dirty?
Yeah, like there's like always been a, like a filthy New York reputation that I never really all the way understood.
Too many people who just, you know, poop on the sidewalk, right? Like,
and also because we throw our garbage on the sidewalk
twice.
I think it's because we, and also we throw our garbage on the sidewalk.
Oh, New York has a dirty reputation because in 1953 there was a 4-day smog that went up to 1,000 feet.
Everyone knows about that.
That must be it. Not because of the 17 homeless people peeing and pooping wherever they live.
Not because the meatpacking district used to just have blood of animals going down the streets.
But the remember those 3 days in 53?
What a stupid comment.
That started it all.
That's maybe that's where the reputation comes from. Yeah, it's not the literal 8-foot piles, 8-foot piles of trash outside of every major business. It's not that.
Do you think they call the Garden State because my mom plants stuff in her backyard? I think that's why.
That's so good.
Oh man.
Yeah.
Chris Terry.
So. I don't know where to go from there.
Hey, listen to this. Daily News, November 21st, 1953. Northern New Jersey and especially industrialized Elizabeth were hit even harder yesterday than New York. Scores of factory workers required first aid. Many school children complained of throat and eye irritation and nausea. How about that? There's a shout out to New Jersey that you were looking for.
We got one. See? Yeah, I don't know why I took that so far. I don't really care that much about the New Jersey recognition. But I do think it's weird that everything that it is, everyone's like obsessed with New York. And then, you know, the New York, like you could tell who's from here and who's not just from like the shit they post. Like New Yorkers are so, people that are from here or been here a long time, they're so used to shit that like a lot of people didn't notice this until it was in the news. They're like, yeah, I know it's gray and smells shitty outside, but I don't know. You know what I mean? And then other people are like, what's going on? But it's after a while when you're from here, you just don't ask. You're like, I was driving from Long Branch, which is a little more south if you're not familiar. And I was driving up towards where my mom lives. And I actually literally saw it change because I guess the, you know, maybe the salt air or whatever kills it on the way down. I don't really know, but it didn't really make its way down to Long Branch. It's not perfect. It's a little like gray out, but it wasn't. Not like it is here. And then you start moving and you're like, what the hell is that? And then I just didn't ask because I was like, there's just way too many things it can be and I don't really want to know, you know? So then in like family group text, and that's actually where I first found out, in the family group text we were talking about Canadian fires and it came from my sister, which I immediately ruled out the idea that it could be Canadian fires. So I think that's where aliens, so I think it was either my sister being right about a current event or aliens. And I went with the latter because I was like, I know in my lifetime I'll see aliens. I don't know that I'll see my sister on top of the on top of the current events radar. So
so we're doing an entire show and wasting 45 minutes of everybody's lives because you didn't want your sister to be right.
No, because I can't believe that she is. Not because I don't want it to be right. I refuse to believe it still. Yeah, that's it. The math isn't mathing if Lauren's telling me shit that's going on in the news before I find out about it. So I said, you know what? This can't be. This has to be something bigger and worse. But yeah, there's always been, I guess there's always been weird New York smogginess, huh?
I'm trying to see if these 1953 ones reference anything else.
Yeah, like if there was like an alien thing, but like the week before.
Oh no, yeah, actually this one just, the Daily News, look at that.
Mentions aliens?
Local conspiracy theorist links fog to aliens.
Get out.
No, come on.
So, how are we on time right now?
Planes were grounded. We have as much time as you need to get through this.
Well, I need not a lot of time. I need it to be less time.
Harbor police and the Coast Guard were called in to aid the crowd at the Statue of Liberty when the sightseer became fogbound at her Battery Pier.
The word, what?
Maroon, you know what sightseers.
I would love to sit with like a newspaper historian, somebody that really knows newspaper business, and know when we stopped using awesome words. Like, when did we decide to stop using just great words? I know you know what I'm talking about. Like, when you go through newspapers.com, you see some great, great words in there, like great headlines.
Yeah.
So what's the one you just said that made me think of that? It wasn't View Seekers. It was something else.
Harbor Police and the Coast Guard were called in to aid the crowd at the Statue of Liberty when the sightseer became fogbound at her Battery Pier.
Fogbound. That's the one.
There you go.
I just found something for our lady serial killers, by the way.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, Marianne Cotton. Let's add her to the list.
Okay.
I'll take a screenshot. So, I'd love to speak to a newspaper person and understand why we stopped using great words. Because they
probably had to dumb it down.
Or just, like, get everyone to smarten up, right? Like, if this is the only thing they were reading, why are they dumbing it down?
Well, I don't know. Look, you got the New York Times and you got the Daily News, you got the New York Post in New York, right? Like, if you don't feel like having your brain strained, are you going to buy the New York Times or are you going to buy the New York Post?
Well, I used to buy newspapers when I would, like, get bagels and stuff on the way to school. I never read them. I just thought it was cool to, like, walk in with a newspaper.
Yeah, tucked under your arm.
And I would buy the New York Post because I didn't know what the hell it was about most of the time, but their headlines are just wild. You know, like, they're just the craziest things to read. And they're, if you're not from here, they, like, and as a kid, especially me, I love a good pun, you know? So the New York Post puns, like, I always thought were funny. And then when I got older, I was like, oh, man, they're really mean. when I knew what they were talking about, I was like, oh, man, they are, like, not nice in this newspaper. But then I met some people from there recently. I think we talked about this last episode. And they said that they have a room of just their best headlines ever. And they would let us record in there.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
You want to do that?
I do. I gave you their email, but I don't think we ever reached out. And by we, I mean you, but that's all right. You have a real job.
Just waiting for you to remind me.
Sorry. But yeah, I think what I wanted to do a little bit while we have time was tease next week and, like, kind of maybe what we'll start doing, Nando, as we produce the show while we're recording it, is, you know how I was usually doing, like, the one-on-one episodes where I would, like, tell a quick story and then bring the guest in?
Yeah.
Maybe, obviously, we'll do this next week with a little bit more heads up, but we'll try it right now, too. Just kind of tease next week the same way, and that kind of forces our hand to not change the topic the way I did this week. But I was excited about the sky falling. Like, I thought it was interesting. So I wanted to talk about that. So I'm sorry for going off topic, but there is a curse of our Sir Arthur Conan Doyle. Do you know who that is?
Yeah, me? Yeah.
So, for those who don't,
sorry,
well, you want to tell the
rhetorical question?
It kind of was.
Hey, do I know the guy we've been talking about for a week on text?
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
it was
for you to set the guy up for the people that don't know. Was for you to be like, oh, don't
who
you
is
mean
Arthur
the guy
Conan
who,
Doyle?
Let me rack my brain.
According to Google, he's a sir.
he is a sir. I have a hard time calling people sir when I refer to them as if they're a sir. Like, Elton John to me is just going to stay Elton John. I can't really do Sir Elton John.
You seem like someone who would address, you know, like, someone's like, yeah, all right, boss, thanks. Like, sure, yes, of course,
I'm not a big boss guy. I'm not a chief guy either. I say, I guess I'm just mostly man. Like, thanks, man. Appreciate it, man. Yeah. But it's really like M-E-H-N, like man. So, yeah, do you want to set up who Sir, if you could just use your memory of that you know about Sir Arthur Doyle, Arthur Conan Doyle, who do you want to tell the nice people who he is and why we're going to talk about him next week?
He was the author of Sherlock Holmes, creator slash author behind Sherlock Holmes.
And he drove himself something to the point of madness with his creation of Holmes. And he was like a really smart science guy and like physics guy. And he was very big on using facts and all the things that really Sherlock Holmes does, right? Like, you know, if it's, basically, you put everything into a strainer, and whatever's left has to be the case, and because you rule everything out by whether or not there's facts in there. And he became really obsessed with kind of, I don't know how I would put it, but I guess like out becoming more famous than Holmes. He wanted to become an author of other things, and they just weren't working because people were like, "Nah, man, just give me more Sherlock Holmes." To the point where, you know, it was an obsession, and he started to get, you know, in his diaries, he would get like mad at him. And it kind of started this rumored curse of his manuscripts of Sherlock Holmes and the people that tried to acquire those manuscripts, even people that tried to write biographies about him, kind of had that same work obsession or subject-based obsession with their subject and with their topics. And I mean, there's like murder, obsession, intrigue, things that I want to talk about with that and kind of link it to why you shouldn't really be too obsessed with what you do every day. And I really love that topic. I just didn't want to, all I had on my mind, I knew if we started talking about it, I would just find a way. I would be like, you know what? It was always foggy in those days, kind of like right now. So I was like, let's just. I think that's when people are always saying to me in the comments, like, I love the show, but you ramble. You like go off topic a lot. I think I realized it's because like I usually have it something else I feel like talking about by the time I get to recording. So maybe I'll just, you know, like cut the fat and just start talking about that and then get into it. But now I feel like we could talk about Sir Arthur Conan Doyle in the way that we need to, because it's a really cool story. I called you, very excited about it. If anybody needs a reference piece, actually, maybe I should do that.
I do like you giving out homework.
Yeah. So if anybody wants a reference piece of what we are talking about next week, there's two ways you could read it. Actually, it's the same author as The Wager. When I talked about the boat shipwreck people, he either has a book or a New Yorker article. The book has been really cool too. The book is about, it's like 12 different stories, I guess, from all of his New Yorker stories or other articles that he's written, just about like obsession and kind of, I guess the interesting people, but like in kind of messed up ways. But the New Yorker article should be free online. It's called Mysterious Circumstances, the Strange Death of a Sherlock Holmes Fanatic by David Grant. So if you want to read that, that's what we're going to be talking about next week. And it's really, really fun, really, really cool. Nando, you should probably read it too. But it's like a long read. It's like an hour read probably.
That's a short.
Even though
1 hour?
Well, like for an article, it's kind of long.
Yeah, I guess you're right.
So,
yeah, send it to me. I'll do it for the show.
It's really interesting. You're going to like it a lot. And it kind of gives you everything that you need for this. Cause I tried to do additional research and I was like, oh, I can't really do it better than he did. So I'm really just going to make it pretty much about this article. So, yeah, check it out. That's next week.
Hey, not to bring us back to this week's topic.
sorry.
But I found,
I thought we were done.
I found it. Well, I found another story that was popping up.
Go ahead.
Where you were monologuing. They called it the 6-day darkness, and they traced it to the Jersey waterfront. The smog, smaze, and smirk that cloaked fairest Brooklyn and Queens for 6 days may have gotten its heaviest dose from foreign shores, the dreary Jersey waterfront industrial areas. This is from 1953.
And that's the same one you were talking about before?
But listen to this. So Harold Glicksman, who's the acting chief inspector of the Air Pollution Control Department, talk to people who were like, this is for real. Second person, Uncle Sam should not play around with the atom bomb because the atomic explosions caused the smog. So there you go, Chris. That could have been like, yeah, you time traveled back.
Blaming, so what are they? Well, I blame nuclear bombs on why aliens know we exist.
Sure.
Did we ever talk about that?
No, I would have remembered something like that.
That's when they appear. They appear like, they started to appear on radars like UFO screens in the areas of nuclear testing sites, because the rumor is, like, if you watch enough documentaries, and I do, that's basically their way of being like, yo, don't play with this shit. It's like pretty serious stuff.
I would have thought they were like, this is a signal. Like, let's go follow this.
Well, so that's the other thing. They're like, and again, it's all documentaries, but there's things that are like, either they're coming in to warn, there's like three options. They're coming in to warn you, like, hey, like what you're doing is fucking with the ozone. Like, that's not a good tool. We don't use that around here. A signal, like an SOS type of thing, like, hey, that, you know, we're here. Like, there's life here, you know? Or a invitation to, like, hey, we're in the fight. You know, if you have weapons, we have weapons kind of thing. And since we don't know what's out there, personality-wise, we don't know how it's accepted. But those are, like, the three things that, like, the science experts, like, fear that's what we're doing with nuclear testing and nuclear bombs. And that's why there's a lot of there's UFO stuff in like Hiroshima. Like there's a lot of sightings in places where there's been, I think Chernobyl had a couple things too, like if I read or saw like or anything where there's been obvious, way too much nuclear, I guess like whatever you'd call it.
Exploration?
Yeah.
Experimentation?
That's where a lot of that UFO stuff comes from.
That's interesting.
All right, good. At least we did something interesting.
Today. Another person told Harold Glicksmane, send a lot of airplanes over the city and clear the air with your propellers.
That's not how it works.
This is 1953. I mean, how many people were on a plane in 1953? How many people had seen a plane in 1953?
I like to think that like 1950s-ish is, I feel like I used to say the 30s. So like the 30s to the 50s was like the most optimistic time for like travel and things, like probably even more than now, because now we have a little bit more of an idea of what's possible and what isn't. But when you go from like, oh, it takes 3 months to get to Oregon to to like I can fly there in like 20 years, I feel like you must think like whatever's next is going to be huge. Like, so thinking space and aliens must be a natural next step in your head, you know what I mean? Like, now we know with satellites and all these other things, like kind of what goes into it. But back then it was just more sky. You know, like I don't think people, you know, we had knowledge of it, but I think people, I would have been optimistic then of like anything's possible because we just started flying and we could drive. And, you know, not long ago we were on horses and we had to take trails everywhere. And then, you know, next thing you know, it's trains, it's planes, it's automobiles. And it's like, I feel like that had to be the most fun time to be alive. I always think that.
Maybe.
Like that at first, like that version of the Industrial Revolution.
What about right now, Chris?
No, not right now. We know way too much. We know way too much shit. We're not even entertained by anything anymore. Like, I was thinking about that after the 90s episode. Actually, my friend called me just before we started recording, and he was telling me, I was laughing about the 90s episode because I realized, like, we really don't enjoy things anymore. He's like, you know, and he's like, you know, you're right. And I don't think I said that, but I was like, it's true, because I've been thinking about it since. Is these, I used to have such little things that would get me so excited, and they would, and I would latch onto them for like weeks. And now it's,
you might just be getting old.
You think that's all it is? You think kids right now are as excited as I was about a simple movie announcement or a video game announcement or something like that?
Well, I think because information travels so quickly now, like you can't. You know, like when they're like, there are a couple of movies that came out. I'm like, I don't remember people talking about these movies coming out, you know, like weeks, months ago, like they used to.
Yeah.
But I think people were excited, like Guardians of the Galaxy 3. There was anticipation for that.
But like,
for a while?
I don't know. But even just regular stuff, you know, like, I don't even mean the movie coming. Yeah. Would there? You think so? There's a lot of build up to that?
I think so.
Think about the amount of Star Wars shit.
That's also because people are sick of Marvel.
Think about how the amount of Star Wars shit that came out between, I guess it would be, was it Return of the Jedi? What's the last one?
The one that just came out?
No, the last of the original three.
The Return of the Jedi. 40-year, it's a 40-year anniversary.
Okay, so Return of the Jedi, between that and Phantom Menace, all that came out was like books and comics and stuff like that. The excitement around it was nuts. And now there's a new Star Wars thing every other, and I'm not even a Star Wars guy, but there's a new Star Wars thing every other day, and I don't even see that crowd getting excited the way they used to.
Yeah, I like Wars. It's not, it's too much.
I like that's what I mean.
And it's like, uneven. Like Boba Fett ruined Boba Fett for me. So
yeah, and now you have to completely change the whole, like, how you see a Mandalorian's different. Everything's different. Also, The Mandalorian and The Last of Us is the same show, just one's wearing a helmet, one's not. Same actor, same concept. That girl is just a human version of Baby Yoda. I had to get that off my chest. It's the same exact show. It drives me nuts. So, also, they have the same kind of smog, The Last of Us, I feel. But I think that it's just harder. That's why I've been thinking a lot about those back in the day kind of moments, like from like the 30s to really like the 50s, 60s to like the 90s. All that really changed was what our products are and how we sell them and how we use them, right? So like we still listen to music on a physical item, you know? So whether that went from an 8-track to a record to an 8-track to a tape to a CD to a whatever, it doesn't really matter. It was the same kind of thing. It was just you change the process in which you use it. But it was the same. There's a finite amount of music on an item that you had to go to the store and get. Then it totally changed. Like, you know, like the things weren't that different for a really long time. And I think now we're trying to, we have to be totally different. And I think it's okay. It's just, I want to be excited about shit again. And it's just, I can't.
I understand. That's sad, though.
Yeah.
You get excited about stuff. I know you're still excited.
For how long? For how long, Nando? I was excited about Sherlock Holmes on Saturday. And now we're here on, by the time Wednesday rolled around, I was like, nah, I'm not into it.
No, you're still into it. It's just something got more exciting. Something just cut the line because the sun's orange.
Yeah, but.
And you need an outlet for that.
It's just easy for people like me. It's very, I'm super ADD, ADHD, whatever you want to call it.
I never. No way. You want to spend 30 minutes on the Wachilis right now or what?
So it's just, it's not the best world for me, this version of it, because there's just too much shit to choose from. I want to watch like 30 shows. And it used to be like, yeah, when this show's over in July, the next one starts. I need it to be organized like that again, because it's too frantic for me right now, the world.
Well, you're just catching up on stuff, right? There's nothing new coming out that I think you're excited about, I would say.
I don't know. There's stuff I'm excited about that I literally forget about. And then when it comes back, I'm like, oh my God, I was excited about that and I forgot it existed.
Yeah, right. We get the same problem. We start some shows and we have to stop for whatever reason because like the kids are nuts at night. And so we go like a week without watching a show. We're like, what were we in the middle of? Oh, Dave. We got to watch Dave. And then we still got to watch Atlanta. Like, you know, like
literally both of those shows are still on my oh shit list. I forgot about that.
Yeah.
Hey, I got to start my day. And I feel like we have a good little podcast happening here. You know who we should try to get on?
I have several suggestions, but yeah, who?
The people who do our song.
Oh, all right.
I bet you they're easy to get.
Maybe. I don't know how to track them down. I mean, we got it off of a site where you get a bunch of songs that have, you know, the rights you pay for, and you can use it as many times as you want.
It says their name, though, on it.
Yeah, it does.
So maybe they have a website or something. And then I guess Marco Pierre White never got back to us, huh?
No, they never wrote back.
All right.
But I did I got an out of office from the guy's publicist, so.
Oh, that's not bad. All right, yeah. So maybe just out of office.
I wonder when he's coming back in the office.
It's vacation season.
Let me search for Marco Pierre on my computer. This is how you want to end the show?
Yeah. I'm just happy we're putting out shows again because we had such a good run going. I'm going to talk as if there's not people listening to the podcast anymore so now everyone can really, really know what happens. I was so, like, I felt bad because we were doing really well, first of all, on ratings, ratings and comments and everything. And then it was just so inconsistent of a product that I think people got mad at us. So I'm just happy we're putting out shows.
I would say disappointed. I wouldn't say mad. I would say disappointed.
But you see what I'm talking about? There's so, like, once upon a time, people were like, oh, I like that show. It's back on. Now it's like, nah, man, there's way too many shows.
If only you had a way to reach 300,000 people at once and tell them the show's back on.
Yeah, but all I could reach is 293.
Add your Twitter.
I've lost so many people lately.
I don't know.
I think it's because I don't tweet about Bravo stuff, but Twitter and Instagram, I've lost a lot of people.
I mean, I don't know. I don't cull who I follow unless they're being annoying, so maybe they just don't like what you're posting.
Speaking of the New York Post, their headline today is Blame Canada.
Yeah, I saw a lot of people write that.
I feel like that was a little easy, right?
Yeah. No, they could have done better. There's so many puns off the word smog.
Greta Thunberg's got to be having a field day, right?
Why? This is fires and wind.
I feel like she could take a victory lap somewhere. Somehow. Find a way.
Yeah. Yeah. Ask your sister who's on top of the news. Find out.
I really think she's going to find a way to wiggle herself into this somehow.
All right. Stay tuned. But I had a friend in Boston who asked me like what it was like in New Jersey. And I'm like, yeah, that's weird that like, I guess it didn't cover that wide of a swath. But like when you go to Montreal, you go through Boston, like Vermont and stuff.
So that's where I'm so confused about.
So I guess the wind was just going over and down and not just straight down and over.
Yeah, like it doesn't like take ways. Like it doesn't take like the ride it would take if we were driving.
I mean,
it's
south. I guess it just wasn't a southerly wind, but I need to see this like a time. I got to see a time lapse of like how this moved.
That's why I think it's bullshit, because I haven't seen anything out of Canada. I haven't seen a time. That's interesting, and people would cover it. People do that when there's like a hurricane, right? Like, oh, look at how it got here. And they're not doing it for this? No.
Quebec fire time lapse. All right, I think we should end the show probably 5 minutes ago.
Well, we might come up with something here, though.
Quebec wildfires filmed from International Space Station. What sparked the Canadian wildfires? There you go. There's your answer. Daily Mail has you covered.
I'm looking up Greta Thunberg's Twitter.
I don't think this is toxic smoke. They're calling it toxic smoke, but I don't think it is. Yeah, it's just burned up trees and leaves and stuff.
No, she's taking credit for it.
What'd you say?
She's just retweeting stuff that's like the worst air quality day in history recorded.
Yeah, no kidding, because it's smoke from a fire.
Right, but she's not owning the fact that it's from smoke from a fire. It has nothing to do with straws, but she's...
I don't like that. I saw a bunch of people in the headlines about that too. Like, it's the worst air quality ever. Like, it's 400 and it's usually only like 110 is the danger point. Like, yeah, man, it's a forest fire smoke.
I don't want to worry about measuring air now too, by the way. I don't want to go.
It's like you jump in a pool and you're like, this is the wettest I've ever been. Like, yeah, you're in a pool, man.
But it's like, all right, I got an alert from my phone. It was like, don't let the air quality, you know, if the air is over 290, it's dangerous. I'm like, how the fuck do I know what the air is at?
Yeah.
This conversation might be a good cold open until I just said that. This part of the conversation.
This part of the conversation? We had good cold open.
What was it? I think we're getting into a groove, though.
It was you forgetting your cold open, actually.
Oh, yeah, that sounds about right.
You gotta go shit,
I'm all good.
Today?
Yeah, I got to run to Long Branch. I got to go.
All right,
this was good. This was fun.
Yeah, and
I'm going to hang up. I'll tell you that because I know you get sad when I just hang up.
No, it's just weird that, you know, like you didn't want to chat and say, hey, we got to cut those two things out that I mentioned. All right, you don't have to say it again. Okay, I got it. Just end the show, man.
You're the one that always wants to fucking recap and talk.
It's nice. People like recaps at the end. What did we learn today, Chris?
I'm not going to say it again. Wait, that might be a cool thing for the cold open for now on. The recap. Like the thing that like isn't, not that, but like the way we're doing it now of just like, because that's funny. Like it's a funny way to start it of like, I got to edit that out. And then people kind of knowing like the episode's going to be fucked up. You know what I mean?
Yeah, that's great. I love it.
I think it's a fun way because I'm like, it's legitimately funny too.
I agree.
So we'll just, at the end, we'll just recap. We'll do a recap at the end that's like not giving away too much. And then we'll just use that as the cold.
Great. Remember that for next week.
Very Quentin Tarantino.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, cool. I'm really hanging up this time.
All right, bye everybody.
Later.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.